What's up, guys? I know a lot of you are probably wondering, where in the world? That's not the van. You're right. It's too hot out there. And I'm going to flip this camera around because my other... So I won't be able to tell who's on, who's not. Because this camera... This one here, it's not so bad. Maybe I'll just leave it alone. It's kind of fuzzy, but I'm not going to worry about it. So I'm going to wait for a little. Hey, Al, what's up, buddy? How's the Sunshine State down there? Florida, for those that don't know what the Sunshine State is. What's up, Joshua? So give it a few minutes here. And you're thinking, what in the world? Hey, Grandma Judy, how are you? You're thinking, what in the world is Randy doing home on a day like this? Well, it actually is my trusty sidekick, Barry, is still on vacation. I think he's due back in town. He might be back in town now. I'm not sure. He'll be back in the saddle tomorrow at church. So we hope to see you there. We're at about 3 now. Like breathing through a wet towel, but it's great. Yeah, you're right. And you know what? It's no better here. These are the hottest 2 days of the year so far in Missouri. So I just think it's funny how it rhymes. Are kind of, it's very similar to misery. What if they had that in mind when they named it all those years ago? So I'm going to go ahead and start because... what's up, Babu? How are you, brother? I'm going to go ahead and start, guys, because, and if they're not seeing, they can see it later. But a few things kind of have been pressing upon my spirit this week while I was at home. Of course, last week we're on vacation with the family, with the grandkids and the kids. And I think it's very important for us to take some time and to get away and to enjoy life and have a little bit of fun. I think it's very important, and I think it's also biblical to do that. Jesus was oftentimes trying to slip away into something, some rest. And I think we should do the same. So we went away last week, had a great time in Michigan. Of course, Lynn and I got home a little earlier than that. And we went on another little trip to kind of unwind from that trip. This week, Barry was away. And so I chose to spend the week fixing up things around my house that had been neglected. Recognizing, because I'm in the contracting business, and I'm constantly encouraging my customers to maintain their exterior of their homes, their interior, just to always have to be out in front of your maintenance issues, keeping your gutters clean, you know, the importance of keeping debris away from the foundation of your house, to keep it off, to keep your wood piles away from the foundation so termites don't get into your things, into your home, things like this. So I'm constantly mindful. It's interesting how it's a lot easier to spot on like a customer's home or a home that I drive by. And on my own home this week, what I found, there were several areas that I had neglected, not intentionally, just because I had gotten accustomed to the routine, coming home from work and, saying hey to Lynn, walking in the front door, grabbing a bite to eat, heading out to church, and you just... Over the course of time, you fall into this trap of not being on top of things around your home. A couple of things had happened. My front slab had fallen about 5 inches. I kind of knew it, but I had been kicking the can up the road. I really didn't want to deal with it because I knew that it would be a whole thing on raising the pad, disassembling the steps, and putting it all back together. I had that going on. I had some raw wood on the house, which you think that I would know better. I am a painting contractor. You think that I would know better to keep a coat of paint on stuff so it doesn't rot, and down the road it can cost you a bunch of money in repairs, having to replace what you should have just painted. So I started thinking about all this, and it took 3 days to kind of catch up a little bit where I'm supposed to be, and I'm still well behind because I didn't have a regular maintenance program. In the same way, I think oftentimes we fall into that trap in our spiritual lives What's up, Martin? In our spiritual lives, we need to have a maintenance program too. And what do you mean by maintenance program? Well, I think, you know, we talked about at men's group today how arduous and long this journey is. That doesn't mean it's not full of joy. Doesn't mean it's not full of excitement and hope. But over the course of 5 years or 10 or 20 or 30, it becomes, it's a marathon. And when you're in a marathon, a lot of things can creep in, or maybe that you're aware of or unaware of, and things creep in and bad habits happen. And the next thing you know, that you're in need of some serious spiritual repair. You can ask David about that. You can find his story. Many of you know it. If you don't, you need to go check out the story of David, of course, and Bathsheba. At a time when the kings were supposed to be at war, he was around the top of his palace and looked over and spied a beautiful woman, and she was bathing, and we know the rest is history. So I suspect that wasn't the first time that David may have seen her over there. I don't know. But he should have immediately, when he recognized she was on the roof, he should have done something different, gone to another area, done something completely different, and it would have saved him a lot of heartache. Now, God worked it all out, of course, because that's what God does, and he is good. But I think if we have a program to check ourselves, Paul says we ought to examine ourselves. In particular, he's speaking of taking the Lord's Supper, Lord's Communion. But I also think if we examine ourselves along the way and keep short accounts, then we could save ourselves a lot of repair, spiritually speaking, in the future. It's a long thing, and sometimes it gets boring, and sometimes you're just kind of going through the routines, but that's why we walk in teams. Hey, Debbie, and I hope Suzanne is here. And I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your husband, but we know that he's with the Lord. Praise God. That's an amazing thing. So our prayers and hearts are with you, Suzanne. But I want to talk about Psalm 51. And this is a psalm, a Davidic song, this psalm. This was after David had confessed his sin and realized, wow, I cannot believe that I wasn't taking, I wasn't doing my spiritual inventories, and I found myself in this affair with Bathsheba, which of course eventually led to murder and all of these things. And this is a prayer of repentance and restoration. But I think there's some things in here that we can almost have like a spiritual maintenance program if we would just apply some of these. And I might be a reach, but you know, the word is alive and active and powerful. It separates, it cuts two ways. So I think if we look at this and we're saying, you know what, I'm going to start using this or something similar out of the word as part of my spiritual maintenance program. And I'm going to constantly go back and check myself and examine myself to make sure that I'm in the faith. But watch this. This is Psalm 51, a prayer for restoration. It's King David after he was exposed. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Right there, right off the bat, he lays out something that we have to do as part of our maintenance program. We have to know the word. We have to know the character of God, that he's willing to forgive. He wants to forgive. Because he knows you can't do it. He knows you're going to blow it. So if you check in from time to time, you know what? Keep short accounts with the Lord every day. Lord, I blew it today. I'm sorry. And when you do that, I think it could stave off some future bigger issue. Just like a coat of paint on a fascia might stave off some repairs, a costly repairs. If you just do this continually, slap a coat of paint on, or go to God and say, I'm sorry, I blew it. I think it could save yourself a lot of problems in the future. Moving on. Blot out my rebellion, wash away my guilt, and cleanse me from sin. He's confessing. I did it. I own it. Wasn't anybody else. I'm not going to blame anybody, Lord. It was me. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You know, I think it's cool because David, yeah, he was a hot mess, but man, he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, even after his failures, because he, once he realized it, he said, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to agree with you, Lord. I'm going to agree with you that I'm a mess. And Psalm 51 is all about David bending his will to the greater will of the Father, not the other way around. A lot of times we're looking for loopholes, like W.C. Fields. I'm looking for a loophole. There is no loophole. God set the standard. We fall below, And we recognize that. We come to God and say, you set the standard. I recognize I blew it. I hate blowing it, but it is what it is. I know, according, because I know your word, and I know according to your abundant compassion, I'm asking you to blot out my rebellion. Right? So there we do that. It was a great men's group. You're right. Against you and you alone have I sinned, done this evil in your sight. So you were right when you passed sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in my inner self and teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out my guilt. You know, he's on to something here, isn't he? Because he's not saying that I didn't do it. He's not trying to, a sleight of hand, trying to get out of it. He recognizes that you've been caught. You know, the Bible declares that we have all sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, right? And the wages is death. David recognizes this. Where else can I go but to you, Lord? I'm sorry. I blew it. And God says, great. Now let's get on with it, right? So every day we're confessing our sins. Maybe get a brother or a sister and say, hey, I'm really struggling here. I'm really having a tough time. I want you to pray for me and pray with me. Verse 10, God create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now watch this. I think this is cool because, you know, when you first get saved, when you first come to the Lord, you first realize what Christ has done for you, first realize, man, what a loser I've been, and the goodness of God, and how much he forgives you, and how much he loves you. There's just really no high like that. It's an amazing thing. But just like coming home and falling into that routine and being unaware of things that have crept in, we have to ask God to take us back to the day that we got saved and remind us that joy we had on the first day that we were saved. I think when we do that and we think back going, man, it was so cool. Kind of like when you on your first date with your wife or your husband. Remember how it was? You kind of you were giddy. You couldn't wait to get there. It's kind of like that. And we need to ask the Lord, remind me, Lord, of what that was like. Because I think when we do that as part of our maintenance program, we can, so we're going to God, we're understanding the word, we're agreeing with him that we're a mess, we're coming to him and asking forgiveness, and we're asking him, take me back to that first day when you first found me. I was literally saved right there in 10th, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're almost there, Candy. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Now we know, according to the word, that will never happen. You cannot send the cross, right? We know. But we need to agree. We need to bring our life. We want to create that fellowship between us and the Father. And it's constantly, we have turmoil from inside and outside, constantly at odds with it. So we need to continually go to him, continually being fellowship, continually reading the word as part of our maintenance program. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and restore, give me a willing spirit. How about that? We just talked about that. Now watch this. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. We want to share. You know, so when we're sharing our faith with others, and this is how iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, we're understanding the character of God, we're understanding his word, we're confessing these sins, and we're doing all of these things, you know. People would say, you guys are always at the church, aren't you? We do this because it's part of our maintenance program. If I didn't have this program, I would really be a mess. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. How about this? To me, that speaks to worship. My tongue will sing of your righteousness. When we worship as part of our maintenance program, I mean, what we're building here, we're building a whole fortress. You know, we pray for a hedge of protection all the time. We should be praying for a hedge of protection, but a part of it's incumbent on us to do what we've been called to do. When we're doing all these things, when we're doing all of these things as part of our maintenance program, we're actually participating in working out your salvation with fear and trembling. The salvation part has been settled by God. When we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we're actually helping God. We don't help God, but we're actually doing our part, our due diligence, to create this hedge of protection around us. That's not to say that something bad couldn't happen, because bad things happen to good people all of the time. But I'll take my chances in the perfect will of God any day, as opposed to out there in left field. Lord, open my lips and my mouth would declare your praise. How about that? We're knowing the character of God. We're reading the Word. We're agreeing with the Word that we're a mess. We're asking God to forgive us. We're sharing our faith with others. We're worshiping God. We're praising God. And we're speaking when we're given an opportunity to speak. You know, the funny thing is, when things have crept into your life, and through routine or complacency, you really don't want to share. You're just like, man, you know, the devil's using that. He can't do anything about your salvation. That's settled in heaven, thank you, God. But he can certainly shut the mouth. He can shut your mouth by when things start creeping in and you're not fresh and you're not remembering when you were saved. You're not remembering what it was like to first be in communion with the Lord. You don't want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. What do you mean by broken spirit? It's just been I'm broken out over my sin. I'm broken over the fact that I can't seem to get it right. I'm broken over the fact that what you did for me, and I understand that you'd expect better from me. But nevertheless, his grace is sufficient in all of it, right? God will not despise a broken and humbled heart. How about that? When you screw up, just come back and agree with the Lord. Man, I'm just sick over this. I just can't do it. And this grace comes in like a flood. And they're renewed every day, by the way. And it causes you to sing the praises of the Lord. It causes you to go, man, you're so awesome. You're so long-suffering. You're so forgiving, Lord. How could I not run into your arms when I blow it? And your good pleasure caused Zion to prosper, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. I'm going to take you to one more thing. And this is, we just did it's been a few months. We did a series on the seven churches and Revelation. And one of the favorite things that I love this church in Ephesus. And he goes on and of course he pats them on the back and then gives them a little, scolding at the end. But he doesn't leave you hanging. So when you find yourself and you've left your first love and all these things have happened, when you find yourself and how do I get back? What is the roadmap back? He doesn't leave us hanging because in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says this. Revelation 2, 5. He says, remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. And I love it because there's a roadmap, very simple. First of all, you look and go, man, I remember the time I couldn't wait to get to church. Man, I remember a time when I couldn't wait to read the Bible. And you're assessing. You're running through your maintenance program and you're looking at all the checks. I remember when I couldn't wait to pray. I remember when I couldn't wait to get to Bible study. I remember when I couldn't wait to get to group. I remember all these things. And then you agree with the Lord and you remember, man, I have fallen so far. Then what do? You repent, go the other way, and you do the things that you did at first. The joy of your salvation, we couldn't keep you out of church. When you remember the joy of your salvation, you couldn't wait to read your Bible. When you remember the joy of salvation, you would receive correction or instruction. And then something happens along the way through routine and complacency and repetitiveness, and it's not really new anymore necessarily. When you do that and you repent, you'd start doing the things that you did at first. It's amazing how the joy and the love and all of those things, the fruits of the Spirit, start to come back. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I have to go do some maintenance. Actually, I'm doing maintenance now on the Tahoe. But I think every time we do something, God doesn't waste a second. And I don't think for me this week of home maintenance was without a great lesson, because I recognize the fact that how important it is for me personally to have a spiritual maintenance program and assessment. Give yourself a little progress report. Let me think about, am I enjoying the reading like I did? Am I enjoying my friends like I used to? And sure, there's a time for a pause. There's a time for a reset and just to slip away and get away by yourself. There's time for that. But when you're slipping away, you're getting away, means that I'm absent from church or absent from group or absent from my accountability. That's a bad sign. That's a sign that something is wrong. And there should be a check in your spirit there. And maybe the check engine light is on. So anyway, I encourage you guys, whatever it is for you, read Psalm 51 and make that part of maybe your daily thing. I knew a girl was saved, literally right there from 10:13. How about that? So I love you guys. Have a great weekend. And we do hope to see you at church, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Bye.